Welcome to the Maintaining and Enhancing Improvements Unit. This unit is from the Fundamentals of Health Workflow Process Analysis and Redesign component. The unit focuses on helping the student develop the skills to recognize and access changes that can be maintained, develop alternative processes and methods needed to keep the practice running if the EHR system fails, and apply to these activities an understanding of health IT, meaningful use, and the challenges practice settings will encounter in sustaining and enhancing the quality improvements that are being made. Because workflow analysts will encounter organizations and people that have experience with QI and awareness of the methods for maintaining and enhancing improvements is critical. This unit introduces students to these elements. Upon successful completion of this unit, the student will be able to design control strategies for clinic processes and develop and present a sustainability and continuous improvement plan for a healthcare setting. Working with practice staff, the student will be able to develop a set of plans to keep the practice running if the EHR system fails, and evaluate the new processes as implemented, identifying problems and changes that are needed. The topics covered in Unit 11 of the Fundamentals of Health Workflow Process Analysis and Redesign include continuous quality improvement, process control, and business continuity plans for implementation during times of natural disaster, pandemic, and computer systems downtime. Sustainability of improvements is a very important topic. To realize the full potential of quality improvement projects, one must maintain the changes and enhance those changes with subsequent improvements. Not enough is known about what is required to sustain the QI at the organizational level. In this unit, we will explore three topics that are useful in tracking, measuring, and encouraging sustainability of the quality improvement. CQI is the philosophy of continual improvement of the processes associated with providing a good or service that meets or exceeds customer expectation. In this case, the service of quality health care. It adds an emphasis on understanding and improving the underlying work processes and systems in order to add value. Shortell et al. Report that CQI had come to be widely used in other sectors of American economy and throughout the world before it was introduced into healthcare by Berwick and Laffel and Blumenthal, who wrote seminal articles on the topic in 1989, and by a report on an early demonstration program that matched a healthcare organization with a commercial counterpart in 1990. According to Shortell, research suggests that 1/4 of hospital deaths may be preventable. Thus, it is obvious that processes are needed to increase the improvements and quality gains. To achieve continuous quality improvement, it is not enough to just do your best. The need to maintain or enlarge improvements in care raises important questions regarding the sustainability of quality improvement programs. Actually, little is known about what is required to sustain a quality collaborative at the organizational level. The Health Disparities Collaborative conducted a survey of investigators in 173 centers in the Midwest and West Central region that had been involved in QI at least 1 year as of 2003. In 2004, investigators mailed surveys to each healthcare center's chief executive officer, medical director, HDC team leader, all HDC team members, and up to 3 staff members who were not part of the original collaborative team. These were randomly selected from personnel list. The study of factors of sustainability of QI received responses from 165 health centers in the study. These diverse types of respondents were selected because it was expected that they might have different perceptions of what is needed to sustain QI. After the initial survey, 2 additional waves of the survey were sent to non-respondents, and telephone and mail follow-ups were used to increase response rates. Team members, team leaders, medical directors, and CEOs agreed that more release time and additional money would help to increase their ability to achieve and maintain the goals. Other important motivators were improving the quality of care, professional development, personal recognition, and personal satisfaction. Relatively few of these respondents were motivated by either career promotion opportunities or the fear of negative consequences. Challenges to maintaining and sustaining the improvements are time and resources to perform the quality improvement work, the additional tools and techniques needed for improving quality, and financial reimbursement implications of providing higher quality care. Enthusiasm for quality improvement may be high when the intervention begins, but may wither once the staff are involved in the day-to-day work and the organization realizes the expense associated with the effort. It is important not to underestimate the people factors, such as culture, in selecting a quality improvement approach. Any improvement takes time to implement, gain acceptance, and stabilize as accepted practice. Improvement must allow pauses between implementing new changes so that the change is stabilized and assessed as a real improvement before the next improvement is made. Hence, continual improvement, not continuous improvement. It is easier and often more effective to work with the existing cultural boundaries and make small improvements than to make major transformational change. Use of cuisine in Japan was a major reason for the creation of Japanese industrial and economic strength. Some tips for promoting a culture of quality improvement are: educate the staff about quality improvement and provide them with the skills to participate in quality improvement processes. Set a routine schedule for monitoring and reviewing the data from the quality improvement processes. Communicate results from improvement projects throughout the clinic and the community. Display data where patients can see them. Always celebrate successes. Articulate the value of quality improvement in meetings. Provide opportunities for all staff to participate in quality improvement teams. And finally, reward staff members by mentioning their quality improvement contributions in their performance evaluations. It is also helpful to maintain and make available to all participants improvement worksheets that include the following topics: primary goals and completion dates, as well as secondary goals and their completion dates. Process problem areas which will be addressed, which will include but not be limited to potential causes for the process problems or inefficiencies, the most likely causes, and the root cause. Also include ways to streamline the process and ways you can modify the process to improve the efficiency of the healthcare setting and the safety of the patients. More seamless data systems that automatically capture and track key clinical information, specifically the metrics of improvement and here the meaningful use criteria, will make the QI process more efficient and potentially less costly. The challenge is that these systems typically require significant initial financial and social investment. Shields reported in 2007 that 26% of health centers reported electronic health record capacity and only 13% of those meet requirements for a minimal set of functionalities. Thus, while implementing a successful EHR is seen as quality improvement in the healthcare setting, the electronic health record itself can promote and support additional quality improvement in the clinic. It may be helpful to form a quality council. The council can establish core quality standards, identify the quality metrics, identify and define the requirements, clarify which performance measures are key to gauging actual quality improvement performance, collect and analyze data to understand key variables and process drivers, legitimize the value of QI to ensure best use of resources and measure improvements associated with these activities, standardize collection and analysis of quality trends, and educate the organization and train key staff. To be more successful at continual improvement in healthcare, we must recognize that it encompasses a range of disciplines, from process control or statistical process control to human psychology. Given that the majority of our healthcare professionals have not been exposed to CQI, we may need to provide education and training. Process control is a statistics and engineering discipline that deals with the architectures, mechanisms, and algorithms for controlling the output of a specific process. Statistical process control is the application of statistical methods to the monitoring and control of a process that ensures that it operates at its full potential to produce conforming product. There is evidence that SPC is being increasingly applied to healthcare. So why wasn't it adopted earlier? First, SPC was first used in the manufacturing industry. So there is a reluctance to accept that an approach for improving the quality of widgets can be legitimately applied to healthcare. Second, in healthcare, we have medical statistics, and unfortunately, SPC is not frequently included in the most popular books on medical statistics. Ultimately, SPC is a way of thinking which challenges many of the fundamental assumptions of how to deliver improvement documented by Deming. For example, management by objectives, futility of performance-related pay, increased quality means increased cost and less production, and local optimization results in global optimization. Past attempts to introduce SPC into healthcare have failed, not on the statistical arguments, but on the reluctance to face the challenges that statistical process control makes to the overall management approach in healthcare. Key tools used in statistical process control are control charts, a focus on continuous improvement, and designed experiments. Much of the power of SPC lies in the ability to examine a process and the sources of variation in that process using tools that give weight to objective analysis over subjective opinions and that allow the strengths of each source to be determined numerically. In addition to reducing waste, SPC can lead to a reduction in the time required to produce the product or service, such as a healthcare visit from end to end. This may result from using SPC data to identify bottlenecks, wait times, and other sources of delay within the process. Process cycle time reductions, coupled with improvements in yield, have made SPC a valuable tool from both a cost reduction and a customer satisfaction standpoint. Shewhart created the basis for the control chart and the concept of a state of statistical control by carefully designed experiments. Statistical process control may be broadly broken down into three sets of activities: understanding the process, understanding the causes of variation, and elimination of the sources of special cause variation. The process is monitored using control charts to identify variation that may be due to special causes and to free the user from concern over variation due to common causes. This is a continuous, ongoing activity. When excessive variation is identified by the control chart detection rules, additional effort can be exerted to determine the causes of that variance. Tools for this include designed experiments and Pareto charts. The simplicity of the control chart has inevitably led to its widespread and successful application in manufacturing and service industries. However, behind this apparent simplicity underlies some important concepts. For instance, the control chart retains the information in the data by plotting with respect to order, where appropriate, on a graph, and so enjoys the ease of communication associated with good graphs while incorporating statistical thinking. The control chart is a guide to continual action for common and special cause variation. The control limits continually remind us that the major improvement gains lie in reducing common cause variance. By allowing for the play of chance and not ranking the data, control charts overcome the fundamental limitations and negative consequences of comparison with standards. It is one of the very few statistical methods that complete the hypothesis generation, hypothesis testing cycle of the scientific method, which is one reason for its popularity with practitioners. The following two slides provide examples of control charts. This chart shows surgeon-specific mortality rates after colorectal cancer surgery. Ranking the mortality rates of the adjusted hazard ratios with or without statistical test invites the interpretation that some surgeons are better than others. Here we have an example control chart showing the ratio of cases for non-small cell lung cancer undergoing surgery to cases not undergoing surgery. That is the number of cases minus the number of procedures for all persons. The axes are both on a square root scale, and each data point represents a primary care trust. The control limits are based on the mean for all PCTs in Norfolk, Suffolk, and Cambridgeshire of 9% cases undergoing surgery. The business directory defines a business continuity plan as a set of documents, instructions, and procedures which enable a business to respond to accidents, disasters, emergencies, and or threats without any stoppage or hindrance in its key operation. It provides guidance for times when the organization experiences loss of use of its facility, loss of its vital equipment and systems, or loss of key personnel. Thus, it follows that the BCP is a tool that may be quite useful in maintaining the improvements in the organization in times of extreme stress, such as natural disasters, including tornadoes, fire, hurricanes, as well as in the case of complete or near-complete computer outages in organizations where the majority of the operations are automated. Business continuity planning is the task of identifying, developing, acquiring, documenting, and testing that will ensure the continuity of the organization's key operations in the event of an accident, disaster, and/or threat. It involves reducing the possibility of the occurrence of adverse events and ensuring continued operation in the aftermath of a disaster. In other words, it is the effort to assure that the capability exists to continue essential functions across a wide range of potential emergencies. Business continuity planning consists of developing the business continuity plan, forming a BCP team to write the plan and in some cases to be activated in case of an emergency, identify the objectives and define the goals, identify essential functions and critical processes that must be restored for the organization to resume operations after the event, and develop exercises and a timetable for testing the plan to ensure that all perform as expected in the case where the BCP needs to be activated. An initial step is to assemble the core team to oversee the BCP development. Identify points of contact for organizational units, define the overarching BCP program, and develop a BCP timeline for implementation. Often, this same team is expanded to direct the implementation and continued testing of the plan. Typical objectives of a BCP plan includes ensuring continuous performance of an organization's mission, essential functions in an emergency, and safety of employees, protecting essential equipment, records, and other assets, reducing disruptions to operations, minimizing damage and loss, achieving an orderly recovery from emergency situations, and finally, identifying alternate locations and ensuring operational and managerial requirements are met before an emergency occurs. Key goals will likely include the initial organizational functions, vital systems, data, and information identified and prioritized, critical elements capable of being recovered quickly to resume operations, people know who is in charge during an emergency, backup personnel are trained, alternate work locations are predefined, and checklists are predefined to guide the organization in responding to an emergency. Essential functions are those functions that must be performed to achieve the organization's mission. They include communications, vital records, systems and equipment, key personnel, alternate work sites, and testing and training exercises. Critical processes are those processes or services that must be recovered within, say, 24 hours after a disruption to ensure a resumption of the essential functions. These include all resources necessary to carry out the critical process, such as personnel, data or vital records, and systems and equipment. Without proper testing, the plan may fail you when you need it the most. Exercises are events that allow participants to apply their skills and knowledge to improve operational readiness. The goal of the exercises is to prepare for a real incident involving BCP activation. There are three types of exercises that one should consider: the tabletop, functional, and full scale, all of which are self-defining. These references were used in this unit.